Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to Late Night in the Word. It's a glorious Saturday night, and we're glad to be here and excited.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Are we on the air?
No.
Welcome. Saturday night, glorious Saturday night, 11:35, and here we are, late night in the Word. I'm here in the studio with Joab, and I'm Avery Irvin, and to my left is Robert Rodriguez.
Shalom.
And to his left is Brandon Wheeler.
Shalom, shalom.
And to Brandon Wheeler's left is Diego Cruz.
Shalom, shalom.
Praise the Lord. Got a lot to talk about. It's always something to talk about on Late Night in the Word. Hope everybody's having a blessed day. I want to say welcome to our audience on Blog Talk Radio. And Brandon's going to talk to you about the phone number.
The number for Blog Talk until the top of the hour is 347-850-1420, and that's what we'll be using till 12 o'clock, and then we'll be switching over to our main website, which we are currently also broadcasting on simultaneously. The number for that is 631-533-4099, but until the top of the hour, we will be using the Blog Talk number of 347-850-1420.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a lot to get excited about.
Yes, today we had three salvations.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. We join heaven in rejoicing in salvations.
Yes.
Because God's still saving people.
Amen.
We were just watching, I don't know if, you know, people on Blog Talk Radio or even in our listening audience on the website. There's a lot of things going on. We were talking about, they were having a crusade in Southern California, a particular ministry, and they have 43,000 people in the in the stadium where they're preaching the gospel tonight. And they were there last night also, and they had 2,300 salvations, or no, wait, 2,300 salvations. I was like, wow, praise God. And it's exciting. It really is exciting to talk to people and tell people about Jesus, especially young people. I'm excited about the possibility that as we speak on Blog Talk Radio and on the website, there may be someone who's never heard the gospel. And so we trust that as we speak, that you don't receive the testimony of man, but as we speak our voice, that also the Holy Spirit speak from the Word to people's hearts, and that revelation comes. So even on the air, we talk about, when we go out on outreach, we talk about being a menorah, because God told Jacob that you're to be a light to the Gentiles. And one of the things that Israel had as part of a centerpiece of who they are as a people is the menorah. And it's an oil lamp in the old time. Sometimes today you see menorahs that are used candles. But even Jesus said this when he told his disciples, you're the light of the world. He said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel or a basket, but you put it where its light can shine to everyone. And just the fact that we go out, we're like a light in a dark place, shining. And we hope for hearts to receive that light and come to revelation, because revelation, the light of the word, brings revelation to people's hearts. And God wants to be known. He wants to be seen. He wants to be known. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to fellowship. In fact, a good scripture to go to that we went to this morning, 1 John 1, verse 7.
Amen. That is a great scripture. Praise God. All right. And if you hear the flipping of the pages, that's because we use actual Bibles.
Pastor has shared all along kind of a, this not to be legalistic, but, you know, we prefer our own Bibles that we carry as a book to read the scriptures from. And some people like to use electronic devices that you connect to the internet with to or use a program. But think about this. Everything that had to do with the tabernacle, or that God's presence came in contact with, was holy unto the Lord, and it was not to be common. And so that's the thing that's better about a book, that's, it's the Bible and only the Bible.
Amen.
It doesn't have common purposes. It's holy. It's sacred.
It can't be anything other than what it is.
Right.
And can't be used for anything other than what it is.
Right.
It's just the Bible.
Right. So even though it's the same words, and people would argue, well, it's the same scriptures that I'm reading, but, you know, it just seems to me if you, you know, use the same device that you use for other purposes, you know, those other purposes that it uses for are earthly purposes, and they're common. And we don't want to, we want to hallow God's name. We don't want to make God's name common. We want to hallow his name, because his name is hallowed. And anyway, somebody read 1 John 1, 7.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Wow. So that's a lot. If we walk in the light. So there's a choice, and we know in Psalm 119, can you go to that scripture? Psalm
119, 130.
What's it say?
The entrance, well, hold on. This is,
yeah, that's good.
Psalm 119, 130. We went there earlier today, and I was looking at the scripture when you mentioned about it giving understanding. So I flipped there. And
praise God.
The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple.
So, understanding. You know, it's kind of like a reversed thing, you know. In carnal Christianity, you'll hear a phrase that's a cop-out for people when they're challenged to walk in the light. And it really fits this other scripture. Don't go away from 1 John 1:7 yet, because a lot of times, you know, people like to be at ease. The Bible tells us not to be at ease. In heaven, it's worship going on all the time. And also Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're at war, not with flesh and blood, but a spiritual war. There's a warfare against us all the time. There's an attack going on against us. And there's the spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of this present world and powers and principalities. All these things are going on that we don't see, but they're there to resist our walk with Jesus, because the little ruler of this world doesn't want us to be successful. He's an enemy of God who rebelled against God, and he hates God. And he doesn't want people to be successful following Jesus. He doesn't want people to get emptied out and get filled with the Holy Spirit and to truly be changed. Because when that happens, there's a magnification of God's word. And when there's a magnification of God's word, people get touched. People's lives get changed. People have a visible idea of who God is. So read that scripture in the psalm one more time, Brandon.
Entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding unto the simple.
Okay, so there's my train of thought back. When people are challenged, you may hear something like, well, God understands. You know, if they're wanting to justify themselves, wanting to justify their flesh, wanting to justify, you know, taking the easy way or the path of least resistance, well, you know, he's merciful, he understands, but it's not God's role to understand. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I know of that he should even have that role. It's us that are to understand. We're the creation. He's the creator. And so the reason I'm saying that is because that verse says that this light that comes in from the word into the heart, it brings revelation. It brings understanding. Yeah. It brings identity. It causes us to know who we are. And that should bring us to be humble because when we understand that we're the creation and he's the creator, then we know we have a responsibility to follow the commandments of the Lord.
Yeah, and just verse 5 of 1 John, it says, you know, this we've heard of him, we declare unto you, God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And you contrast that with Satan, who's against God, and him there is no light.
And
at all.
Robert has something to share.
And right in to complement that, Pastor shared with us today also in Deuteronomy 28, verse 9, and I'll even include verse 10. The Lord shall establish thee. Verse 9 reads, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now, if all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, certainly that's not something that's happening in the darkness. It's happening in the light. I mean, there's not going to be any doubt that people see it.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God.
Praise the Lord. Let's look at, I just want to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 as we go, and we'll continue to talk here in these scriptures, but I want to read this scripture to kind of, because sometimes some of the things that are written, the devil could twist it and bring condemnation. And the scriptures are there actually to train us and to educate us to the truth or to bring light and to bring revelation. Somebody read 8:1, and we may go further than that.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Okay, and verse 2?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay, so it's not... We know also some people could twist that into liberalism. So we'll go to Romans 6 and read the first few verses of Romans 6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Well, of course, God understands.
God forbid.
No way.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Okay. Well, we can talk a lot on that scripture. I'm saying these because I wanted to read 8:1 because in 8:1 it is a revelation to know that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But that's not a license. And Romans 6 is more clear on that. It's not a license. Grace is not for that. Grace is because of Jesus's faithfulness and God's mercy to us. And so let's look at this scripture here. Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, that's an amazing thing, because if we were to go back and magnify chapter 5, and we may go back to some of the verses, one of the things that we see, and we will go all the way back to Genesis. Let's look in Genesis. There was a consequence mentioned in Genesis when the
where Genesis
Genesis in chapter 2 around verse 7 in Genesis 2, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man's alive, man's living as a creation that God has created and breathed life into. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
You're looking for 17?
Is it verse 17? Yes. I'm glad we read that too, because we're magnifying the fact God created him, God breathed into him, he's living, he has life. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in verse 17, because God had told him you can eat from all the trees of the garden, but, and it also told us that the tree of life was in the garden in Eden. But there's also this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And thou shalt surely die. That's the point. They ate of it. We know, past tense, hindsight, they rebelled. Eve listened to the seductions of the serpent, was seduced, looked with her eyes, wasn't satisfied, somehow went astray, fell for the seduction, disobeyed, ate, and then gave also to Adam, who also disobeyed and ate, and this death entered in. And that's an amazing thing, because in contrast, if we go back, that's what's being discussed before we get there to Romans chapter 6, that if we look in verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So mankind is dead, living in death. If we magnify verses 13 in chapter 5 for the law. Let's read back. We'll go to chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, reference to the scripture we just went to in Genesis. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so in religion, they created this doctrine of original sin. It's a false doctrine. The Bible tells us clearly from the very beginning, God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. They ate of it and death entered in. So their offspring, subsequently their offspring afterwards, were born into death. And Paul goes on here in his teaching in Romans, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So people are not born sinners, but they're born into this death, and they're born into a corrupt world. And it only takes a short matter of time before we start magnifying self and the needs of self and survival and all kinds of rationalizations for why it's okay for us to do whatever it is we do, thinking that God understands. Disregarding that in Psalm 119, the word is there to make us understand.
Amen.
And Paul has given us understanding here in chapter 5, we'll go on. For he says, as an explanation, for until the law, sin was in the world, But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So that's what's really going on. From Adam to Moses, death reigns. And then God brings the word. Now, we won't go into all the detail there, but once the word came, the word is perfect. The word is holy. The word has life in it. And it even says that in Deuteronomy, I give you life and blessing and death and curse and the curse. Life and blessing if you do the commandments and obey God, but if you disobey and you rebel against God, then it's death and a curse. And so, as the word says here, Paul explains it, that if we were to go back a few earlier chapters here in Romans, that the weakness was flesh. And the reason why is because if we go all the way back to Genesis, we're dead. Death entered in. And once that death and corruption is there in the world, the flesh is weak. And so even though God loved us and he gave us the Torah, then the Torah has life. It's able to bring light in and give understanding to the simple, as we looked at in Psalm 119, but it's not able to transform us. And more importantly, to take care of the real need, it's not able to deliver us from death. Even though it has life, because the weakness is not the word, the weakness is the flesh. Because we're in a corrupt world and we've become separated from God. We don't know him. He's revealed in his word in the volume of the book, but there's still the fact that we're in death. And so, you know, Moses, it says that his face shone, you know, when he'd been in the presence of God and he had received the Torah. But after a while, that glory faded. So there's a weakness of our humanity and there's a need. There's a need for us to receive understanding. There's a need for us to receive the truth and to receive life. And so if we get back to chapter 6, that's really what Paul's saying here in chapter 6, verse 3, that in the last part of that verse, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So it's kind of amazing because we need to understand this. That's why I'm magnifying this point is Jesus came. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He never sinned. And we get a look into that in chapter 5, verse 30. We can go there. And we'll keep our fingers here in Romans chapter 6.
And it says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me.
Wow. And so it's a very revelational verse of a look into who Jesus is as a person. Selfless, in love with the Father, and obedient. Magnifying the word and magnifying the will of the Father in everything that he does. And so he never entered into that death. And he's the spotless lamb that took away the sins from the whole world. So, and it was that role, and it's explained, it's revealed in Matthew chapter 16. I'm saying these things for the benefit of those who might be listening that may have never heard the gospel before. And we'll magnify Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And as we start to read verse 21, remembering the fact that this is Jesus who the Holy Spirit brought into the world through Mary, and he's been raised up in Judaism. He's the Messiah. It's been revealed that he's the Messiah. He's ordained and revealed as Messiah. And Peter, just a few steps before this, has had the revelation and stated it. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, you know, flesh and blood did not tell you that, but my Father. And here he's starting to reveal to him the purpose that is there from before even creation was created, that he's here in the world for. Verse 21, someone.
From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day.
Okay, so going back to Romans chapter 6, that's what Jesus, because that's his purpose from before the foundation of the world, was to come into the world. If we were to go back to Genesis again, and we look at when it's called the binding of Isaac, when God asked Abraham to take his only son that he had waited for and to that he loved to go up on the mountain and to sacrifice his son. Abraham was willing to do that, and Isaac was willing. And at the last moment, it says that God spoke and stayed his hand and saved him. And then God, through Abraham, prophesied and said, the Lord will himself provide a lamb. Or the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And we want to say good night. We thank our Blog Talk audience. Thank you for joining us tonight. Brandon, one more time.
The number for the main website, which we are now broadcasting only on, is 631-533-4099. Please call in if you have any prayer requests or questions about our topic or in general. Thank you.
All right, very good. And so welcome, Olive Branch Online listeners, and good to be here tonight and talking about the scriptures. I'm going to try to regather my train of thought of where I was with that. Let's go back and read. We'll look at chapter 6, verse 3 in Romans again. And I will go back and read that scripture again. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Because all these scriptures we're looking at, what we're magnifying the point is that Jesus is the Messiah. His purpose in coming from before the foundation of the world is that God had promised himself a lamb. And Jesus was born in